criminal justice reform advocates and the wrongfully convicted testified before a House Judiciary Subcommittee on Crime about inequities in the criminal justice system. Committee Chair Texas Democrat Sheila Jackson Lee says that innocent defendants are at a disadvantage during the pre-trial period. She says that oftentimes these defendants face detention without access to legal counsel prior to appearing before a judge.
Law enforcement officers and prosecutors may exert disproportionate leverage during this period since they have access to the defendant and all the evidence. Each of the major procedural steps, arrest, determining pretrial detention, and pretrial discovery, implicate the constitutional rights of the accused, who are presumed innocent. We must recognize and address the fact that current practices disproportionately disadvantage people of color.
Lee says the interrogation stage is one of the first chances to solve crimes, but it sometimes involves practices that undermine justice and put constitutional rights in jeopardy. The Innocence Project reports that 29% of the 375 innocent people wrongly convicted were based on false confessions that were cleared with DNA testing. More than half of those DNA tests also identified the perpetrator. Criminal justice reform advocates point to police interrogation tactics. That's why Lee is proposing legislation that would require all interrogations to be videotaped with the camera on both the suspect and interrogator. Barry Scheck, the co-founder of the Innocence Project, says that black exonerees are more likely to be victims of misconduct than white ones.
False confessions were involved in 12% of exonerations. 20%, one in five cases, involved wrongful convictions where an innocent person pled guilty. The root cause of these wrongful convictions lies in some aspect of the pretrial process, which is why reform is so urgently needed.
Anthony Graves is a death row exoneree from Texas who spent 18 years in prison, 12 of them on death row.
I cooperated with law enforcement 110%. So sure was I that the whole thing was some crazy mistake. They told me that another man had named me as his accomplice. That's it. He said my name. There was no other evidence to support his claim. I had full alibi. I was home with my then girlfriend that night long before the hours of the murder. There was no physical evidence to connect me to it. Fingerprints, footprints, blood on my clothes, or traces of embers. No skin cells or hair follicles from the victims. No eyewitnesses.
Graves explains how he witnessed the tunnel vision of law enforcement once they have a suspect in custody, how the media shapes opinions before trials, and the amount of discretion judges give to prosecutors that led to his wrongful murder conviction. For KPFA News, I'm Daniel Witte.